This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Thanks so much for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming up this hour, we've got Trash Tuesday. So who are you trashing? Send us your trashes, won't you? We'll read through those coming up here on the show. We'll do ours at approximately 40 minutes past the hour. Next hour, 1 hour from now, we'll have Jared Greenberg from NBA TV, one of my favorite sparring partners, to discuss game number 5 of the NBA playoffs. Last night was a game for the ages. It wasn't, at every juncture, the highest played game, the highest quality game, but the game had everything. In fact, I think it was a great game because of all of the subplots that were in it, because of all of the things, the twists and the turns, the drama of it, and the rise and fall, the ebb, the tide, a championship team down to its final breath, down 6, 3 minutes to play on the road. That I tweeted this, what a game last night with all the twists and turns and subplots and drama. And Steven tweets, DA, it wasn't a great game. If you call everything all the time great, it loses its value. Well, Steven, I got to tell you, you've got too high a bar for the phrase great. Think about what we saw last night for a minute. You had a modern day dynasty on the ropes. Down 3-1 on the road, the most vulnerable we have ever seen this Warriors team in 5 years, and the most vulnerable it has ever been with Kevin Durant on the roster. KD, in the middle of the incredible unknown, decides not only to play, but to start. And the Hamptons 5 is on the floor, and the Hamptons 5 comes out, and instead of seeming clunky or ineffective, Durant is hitting 3-pointers. The team is in a total flow. And you can't believe what you're watching. You go, my goodness, they look like they never took a play off from one another. They're in complete synchronicity. But the Raptors punch back. And now you've got a give and take, blow for blow, battle going on for a championship with a city ready to explode in Toronto. Then Kevin Durant gets injured. The entire building, after a few initial cheers, is completely turned upside down emotionally. The Warriors are completely gutted. Nobody knows the significance or the severity of it. Durant is now hobbled. He's out. And now we're back to square one. You then have the Raptors on an unbelievable Kawhi tear in the fourth quarter. Take a 6-point lead. The roof is about to absolutely break off and be sent into orbit. And then you have the Warriors come all the way back, championship medal, championship guts, the Splash Brothers hitting threes to seize the lead. And then the final possession after a crazy turnover, a couple of crazy turnovers by the Warriors, one a back over and back at the midcourt stripe by Durant, or by Draymond rather. A final 3-pointer to win the championship, partially blocked. If you don't consider that in the NBA Finals, with Kawhi's individual performance and what it means to that city and a modern dynasty, quote-unquote, great, I don't know what to tell you. You won't find much great. If you didn't get a kick out of last night's game, if you didn't think that was a great 2.5 hours, 3 hours, you got no pulse. That was incredible. What else could you want from the theater of the NBA Finals? Yes, the Raptors' final possessions were sloppy. Yeah. And that lost them that game, and who knows if it'll lose them a title. But Game 5 of the NBA Finals was unequivocally great. For so many reasons beyond the execution of 3 possessions in the final minutes by the Raptors. But Kevin Durant's injury, it rises above everything because it affects everything. Because it affects this series. It affects the legacies of 2 franchises, the Raptors and the Warriors right now. It affects Kawhi Leonard, if he's going to win a championship or not, and what that means for perhaps the greatest postseason that we've seen in a long time by an individual. It also affects the entire league's competitive balance, because what happens now? The Warriors believe he has torn an Achilles. He's going to have an MRI later on today. For the most part, guys that rip their Achilles are never the same. This is what DeMarcus Cousins is dealing with right now. This is what Kobe Bryant dealt with in 2014 and 2015. There's been significant players that have ripped their Achilles and tried to come back and were effective, but never the same. And does that happen to Kevin Durant? Also, this could be up to a year of rehab. I mean, he has now injured this in June. I don't expect to have Kevin Durant back playing next year, because a full year takes him through June. This happened at the very last weeks of the season, of the postseason. If he comes back before the 1 year mark, he would come back for the playoffs next year, not even play the entire regular season. If you are the Knicks, if you are the Nets, if you are the Clippers, if you are any of the teams that have been connected to trying to sign Kevin Durant, would you still give him the max deal? Listen to the emotion on GM Bob Myers' voice when he spoke about KD's injury after the game yesterday. And you tell me if this sounds like a guy that's confident Kevin Durant's career will be unaffected.
Kevin had it's an Achilles injury. I don't know the extent of it. He'll have an MRI tomorrow. Prior to coming back, he went through 4 weeks with our medical team, and it was thorough, and it was experts and multiple MRIs and multiple doctors, and we felt good about the process. He was cleared to play tonight. That was a collaborative decision. I don't believe there's anybody to blame, but I understand this world, and if you have to, you can blame me. I run our basketball operations department.
Bob Myers might be caught in the moment of being emotional because he watched a guy fight to come back on the floor and then got injured. Maybe he's emotional because of what he just saw the team do and accomplish without Kevin Durant. But I think there's an element of this sadness that is Kevin Durant's career might not be the same. And this is one of the best players ever. I think there's an element of how desperate, how awful is this for his long-term career? Look, I think we all hope, no matter where he goes, that KD comes back and can be KD. But he's 32 years old, snapped at Achilles, was dealing with a calf injury already, and now his future is uncertain. This adds so much intrigue to this summer, because if you were a team and you were planning to give KD a max contract, Do you offer him the same max contract and just know that you're going to eat year number one and he's not going to play? So you're basically buying the next 3 years, not next year if it's a four-year deal. If you give him a four-year deal, he does not play at all next season, and then the final 3 years of the deal, it is a compromised Kevin Durant, and he cannot carry a franchise himself, and he has Amari Stoudemire after a knee injury, after the microfracture. You have just sunk your franchise because you're giving a supermax contract to a guy who can't do the things that you thought he could do. Do you gamble? Do you roll the dice and say, look, we believe KD, even at 80% if he comes back after this injury, a year from now is worth it, and we'll just ride out this year number one, and he's not going to play. We'll be really careful with him. Do you gamble like that? I don't know. I don't know if the Knicks are willing to do that. I don't know if the Nets are willing to do that. I don't know if the Clippers are willing to do that. Maybe they are for relevance. Maybe they're desperate to just say, hey, we got Kevin Durant anyway. So we'll just see. We'll roll the dice and see. But that is a big gamble. I think the lesser gamble also for Kevin Durant is to stay, to opt back in. And now this is on the table. KD has an option to come back for $31 million next year for the Warriors. I think it's maybe probable now that KD opts back in for $31 million, doesn't play at all next season, and then hits free agency next summer, 2020. Which, could you believe if we did all of this, this whole lead up, this whole march to this moment, and then 2 weeks before free agency, there's no Kevin Durant on the open market? Mraz, if you are a team courting Kevin Durant, would you still give him a max deal this summer?
I think it depends on the team. For me, if it's, I'm a Brooklyn Nets fan, I want to sign him. I take the chance. I think it takes certain suitors out. And I think you just roll the dice that, yeah, while many have not come back from Achilles injuries, this is Kevin Durant, and he's one of the three best players in basketball that we've seen. And I'm going to roll the dice that medicine's going to take care of him. And even if he's 90% the player he was, that's still worth a max deal and still worth the relevance.
He's going to sit out all of next year. You're fine with that, getting him for year two, three, and four.
Especially because then that would mean you probably signed Kyrie anyway, and your team was a playoff team regardless. So you make room, and you could still be a playoff fun team this year, and then you insert KD the year after. If I'm the Knicks, I don't do that because you've been down disastrous roads before. You brought up Amari Stoudemire. If you're the Clippers, I don't think you have to, because I think you'd be more of a suitor for Kawhi than those other two teams. So again, it just depends on the team and the fit and the situation and the history there. I still think it's worth the risk because I think we will still see KD, even at a 90% KD, shine and be one of the best players in basketball again.
It's an enormous risk, though.
Of course it is.
It's an enormous risk.
And it's easy for me and you to say when it isn't our money and isn't our franchise and isn't our coaches who could get fired.
Or the GM, or the front office getting cleaned out. Right. 855-212-4CBS. That's your phone number. That's a toll-free line this morning brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Ben is next up. He's in New Jersey. Listen to Sirius XM, channel 206. Good morning, Ben.
What's up, DA?
How you doing, man?
I say for a guy like KD's all-world talent, you have to take that gamble. Even for your team like the Knicks, you're such in a rut that I think he's definitely worth it. You just have to hope that he has the best trainers and staff to get him back to possible. And he doesn't have like a body where he's going to continually happen. So if I'm a GM, a owner, we hash it out and I say, okay, he's definitely worth it. It's going to take about a year. We know that. We'll give that away and we'll just have to rehab and get him back to top form. But I think this ultimately works out for Golden State. I just think the way that he fought to come back and the way those guys took him in afterwards and how they talked about him in the GM Myers, I think this definitely works out in your favor. I agree with you with that. But one final thing, as far as the Raptors go, how do you let that happen again last night? They saw what happened game two. You never let the guys with championship heart like the Warriors leave him an opening. You let it happen at game two at home again. You did it again last night.
Yeah, that timeout by Nick Nurse is head scratching. You're up six, 3:05 to play, and then you stop all the momentum that you have. And after that, all of your possessions are dreck, and the Warriors come roaring back. Dan is next up in Richmond, listening on 106.1. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, good morning, DA. Two things. One about the contract and two about KD doubters, haters, trolls, whatever you want to call them. As far as the contract, you do give them a max deal, any team. And the caller before me was exactly – I feel the same way as far as a team in Golden State, you know, just the outpouring of support and emotion and the doubt maybe in his head on what he – is he going to be when he comes back. Maybe he does take that fifth year, you know, supermax from them. It increases their odds, I believe.
I do too, yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
And as far as the haters, and I'm a LeBron James Cavs fan, but as far as all the rumors over the years that you've heard on KD, and he's selfish, he's out for himself, he's this, he's that, all those people right now have to eat their words.
They look stupid, yeah. No, they look stupid. Now, I will say this. I don't think this is the day to criticize Kevin Durant in any way. I think that's kind of heartless. But it is possible Kevin Durant has changed and evolved over time, that at one point he wasn't as team-oriented as he is today, or he wasn't as committed to fighting through pain, or that he learned what commitment and doing things for a championship meant by being in Oakland. I mean, you know, to say he should have never been criticized because of what he did last night and coming back, I also think is kind of short-sighted and only in the moment. But again, today is not the day to say that Kevin Durant was ever less than a great teammate, because, I mean, this is a really solemn time for him, and who knows what his career looks like from here on out. When we come back, Raptors fans have faced a lot of criticism today for cheering Kevin Durant's injury last night. Do they deserve it? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Dude has made himself what he is, a very successful broadcaster and entertainer that people are watching. Big DA House right here. Let the record reflect it. I respect him. I love the guy, and I like the way he handles his business.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks, Jim. 24 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. You can always watch the show on YouTube as well after we're done off the air every single day at noon Eastern time. Cap in the back watching and rolling simulcast at watchda.com. Clips up the best of our clips and then post them to YouTube for you. So watch the best of the DA show on YouTube every single day. Last night, Kevin Durant goes down after 11 points. I believe it was 11 points in 12 minutes or 12 points in 11 minutes. Let me get that clarified for you. But either way, Kevin Durant coming back was as effective, if not more effective, than anybody could have possibly imagined. It was 11 points in 12 minutes of play and then goes down with the Achilles tear. And at that moment in time, Raptors fans cheered. Now, after the initial cheer, the Raptors player started quieting down the crowd. And then as Kevin Durant limped off of the floor, there were chants of KD, KD from said Raptors fans. But that initial cheer has irked many people and has gotten the Raptors fans slammed across the country and across the league as heartless, callous, mean-spirited, barbaric fans. Do they deserve it? Rick is in Toronto. He listens at radio.com. Good morning, Rick.
Yes, good morning, DA. Thank you, Damon, for taking my call.
You got it. What's up?
I'm not happy as a human being. I'm not happy as a Canadian. I'm sorry that they did that. Unfortunately, we don't count in the ratings, and we proved it last night. We shouldn't count in the ratings. And this was very ignorant of what they did last night. I'm sorry what they did. You know, this is Toronto. This is a team that liked Harold Ballard a long time ago with the Maple Leafs, and they were horrible. So, and they still put the Maple Leaf Gardens always was packed in those days. And now it's Scotiabank Arena, and they're packing them now. So I'm sorry what happened last night. I think that was wrong. Steph Curry her wife, Alicia, is from Toronto. She grew up in Markham, Ontario. I'm sorry what happened. It was very ignorant of them. I don't know what else I can say to them. You know, I know Canada ruins television ratings. I'm sorry we always do that to that. We ruined the ratings for the network down in Bristol, Connecticut. I'm sorry we always do these things wrong. We ruined your CBS 1990 to 1993 baseball contract. Billions of dollars were lost. I'm sorry that happened to it. But our broadcasters like Rogers and Bell Media, they're greedy people because basically they do something. We got mad at them at the Super Bowl. We couldn't see the Buffalo station's commercials, and they're mad at us and because of that thing, DA, and that's they're very mad at us because we complained to the CRTC about that, and now they can have their show back on Bell Media, happy and those things. So I'm very I'm sad about what happened. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Okay, you got it. You got it, Rick. Wow. That's...
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
What? Wow. Well, that was a lot to digest there. Okay, so let's pick that apart here. Number one, I appreciate your compassion for Kevin Durant. I appreciate you not just sticking your chest out and saying, we're right, you're wrong. Being defensive, being combative. I appreciate that very much, Rick. When Rick says we ruin the ratings and we ruin the World Series, what he means by that, I think, is that the NBC contract for Sunday Night Football or the ABC ESPN contract for the NBA or the Fox contract for the NFL or all of these kind of contracts only factor in American ratings. They don't care what the television rating is in Toronto for last night's game. Because ESPN, ABC, Turner, what have you, they don't collect that data. So when you talk about, quote unquote, ruining the ratings, it's a little melodramatic. But if there's a Canadian team in the Stanley Cup final, if there's a Canadian team in the NBA finals or NBA playoffs, the American television networks that pay crazy money for these don't get the benefit of a home market. They lose that market. It's like an American team is playing nobody. Because there's not another home market to help float the ratings. You know, if it's like Bruins and Sabres, well, you get the Boston market that a lot of people will watch, then the Buffalo market where a lot of people will watch, and then scattered people throughout the country. But you know the concentration of viewers will be in one of those home markets. When you have a Canadian team like Montreal or Vancouver or Toronto or what have you, you don't have another home market. So in this case, there's only one home American market that helps out ABC's ratings. But I don't think that Canada ruins the ratings, and I honestly don't think that most Americans care what the rating is for ABC for last night, or they're just interested in the gameplay itself. But let me say this. I'm going to go ahead and defend Raptors fans because I believe that is the natural inclination in that instinct, in that moment of your team trying to win a championship. I don't think it's necessarily bloodlust. I don't necessarily think it's barbaric. I think in that moment, your instinct is, oh God, their star player went down. This could help us. Or you might think that, oh, Kevin Durant is faking an injury. Or Kevin Durant's trying to draw a foul. And in that instinct, in that moment, you are so wrapped up in the emotion of the game that you begin to cheer. And then as your better sensibilities take and you see the Raptors players calm everybody down, then suddenly the arena was quiet, understood the severity of the moment, and then began chanting KD's initials. I think any fan base would do that, and I don't know, maybe that just means my bar is low for humanity and sporting events, but let's be honest, Mraz. Eagles game, Giants game. Okay, you're watching the Giants. It's an NFC playoff game. And Carson Wentz goes down after being sacked and stays down. Isn't your first reaction to cheer, yeah, we knocked out the quarterback?
Yes, it is.
And if you then found out that night on Twitter or that day during the game or the next morning that Carson Wentz's career was in jeopardy, You don't feel so good cheering it anymore, and then your emotions change a little bit.
Exactly. But heat of the moment, look, I think this is a really weird line we walk with sports where we're afraid to admit something. It's okay to be instantly happy if something benefits your team, like an injury. You're not rooting for death. You're not rooting for career-ending injuries. It's okay if an opponent comes up lame with a sprained ankle in an NFL game or an NBA game and he leaves the game and you're happy and you fist-pump to your buddy next to you. This is good for us. I know that sounds cruel, but that's okay.
But everybody does that.
Right, that's okay. It benefits your team. It's okay. Now, ultimately, you don't want to see a guy's career end. Certainly you're not rooting for death out there. But an injury, a small injury to an opponent, I think that's okay to be happy about. I really do. Now, overly cheering if the guy has to have a stretcher or people pick him up off the floor, yeah, you want to stop, but you're not doing that, and that's not what happened. In the moment, your instant reaction is this guy's down in a league where people flop or people are looking for drama. I mean, this is a league where Paul Pierce got wheeled off in a wheelchair.
Because he had to go to the bathroom.
Right, because we found it was. So how could you blame the fans in that moment as they're trying to win a championship for not being happy?
I honestly don't. Now, if they would have cheered Kevin Durant hobbling off the floor, if this is a guy on crutches and they're going crazy cheering, then it turns into, I think, a little bit barbaric.
But sure.
In that moment, your instantaneous reaction is, KD's down. This is great for us. You're not even thinking about the severity of this. You know, like in the AFC Championship game, if Tom Brady went down and came up and pulled his hammy and starts kind of like limping off the field. You're telling me Chiefs fans shouldn't be allowed to like fist pump or be like, yes, Brady's out of there. Brady's going to be gone. This is huge for us. Now, if you find out Brady tore his Achilles and he's done, his career is done, and you're still cheering the next day, then I'd say maybe you need to check yourself. But in the moment, no, I don't think that that's wrong or unfair. They should be destroyed for being too cruel.
Well, I also think the visual matters. And maybe I'm wrong, maybe they are heathens, but if Kevin Durant had been like undercut, dunking, and slammed on the court and was unconscious,
right.
I don't think that's their that celebration, that momentary yes happens because you're like, oh my God, he's hurt. They just look over, he's got a calf injury, he's on the court, he's grabbing the same area. They think, okay, he tried, it didn't work, and off he goes. If he was really hurt, if this was Yusuf Nurkic with a snapped leg or, you know, Paul George in the stanchion.
Gordon Hayward twisting it around.
Right. Or Tom Brady getting level and he's unconscious and, that crazy, sick, like, frozen knockdown thing. That doesn't happen. I think that them just thinking, oh, his calf is hurt again, I think makes you quicker to be like, yes. And again, this has happened before. It's going to happen again. People suck. We do dumb things as fans. Everyone's so aghast last night that happened. I still can't believe that we freaked out so much about this.
Yeah, it's like everybody just is waiting, obviously, with bated breath to trash somebody at every single instant, and then there's always revisionist history. But you can't tell me if Kawhi Leonard, in Game 6 at Oracle, goes down with a hamstring pull, that the Oracle fans won't cheer initially as well. I mean, it's not like suddenly Raptors fans are so much more bloodthirsty than any
right.
other fans.
Right.
It's just that this is what fans do. The initial reaction is, oh, this could help my team. And then hopefully level heads prevail and you realize the severity of a situation and then you start being respectful about it.
I know I've slapped hands with my father on a Sunday afternoon if the Giants have knocked Romo out with a collarbone injury, which has happened. I know I have. And you know what? I'm watching Romo call CBS games. I don't feel bad about it because the guy has lived a fine life and he's successful. I know I have, and I'm not sorry.
When we come back, Trash Tuesday, we're taking out the trash. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
A no sweatpants at work zone.
Hey, DA, I'm glad you got me in your office, man. I'm pleased to be in here. I probably could add a little bit more here there, DA, but I'm going to sit back and cool on out.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
42 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, the DA show, if you miss anything or want to hear it again, simply go to iTunes, radio.com, or other places podcasts are available. And you can listen to the DA show whenever it is that you want, wherever it is that you want, if you miss anything or want to hear it again. Or if you're not into the whole podcast platform, you can always go to our website and just do DA On Demand. That's cbssportsradio.com. Click on the DA show tab.
Now, tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, make way for what's next when CBS Sports Network brings you a WNBA showdown between the Washington Mystics and the Connecticut Sun, only on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. CBS Sports Spectacular, yeah! Kedrick tweets, KD went down after having a calf injury and grabbed his ankle. Any sensible sports fan knows that's an Achilles injury. From that, your initial reaction should be concern, not to mention the cheering continued on Twitter after KD walked off. Come on, Damon, hashtag.
Come on, Damon. Wake up.
Yeah, I think that's unrealistic. You're telling 20,000 people in an arena that only see KD hopping around, that they should immediately know it's an Achilles injury, that everybody should be that wise in the medical aspects of injuries in sports. I just think that's unrealistic. Look, in sports, so much of this is instinct. So much of this is reaction. Why do I have a job here? Why is there multiple national radio networks devoted to 24 hours of sports talk? Why are there local stations in every market you guys live in right now talking sports 24 hours a day? Why is there a never-ending barrage of sports news and sports opinions on the internet, on television, on radio, on every platform? Because it is driven by emotion. Everything is driven by our emotion and our instincts and our passions. So that's the first line for everything here. It's not that everybody studies sports because it's some type of beautiful art. Some people do. It's not that everybody looks at sports like sabermetrics. Some people do. But mostly, people are drawn to sports out of emotion, out of loyalty, out of community, out of all of these emotion and subconscious things. So in an instant, you're supposed to assess an injury and then believe what's logical or not? I just don't believe that. You know, it's like when the doctor hits your knee with one of those little things. Your knee goes up. That's the reaction. Now, when Michael Irvin goes down on the artificial turf of Veterans Stadium, and for 5 minutes, there is the worry that he's paralyzed because he's not moving on the field. Yes, if at the end of those 5 minutes you're still cheering and you have had time to subside from your natural inclination, your instinct, and your emotion that it helps your team. If even after that you cannot see that this guy might not walk again and you're still cheering, okay, then I'm going to criticize you. But in an instant, I'm expecting all 20,000 people in the stands to assess an Achilles injury and what that means to the broader picture of Kevin Durant's career and then measure that against your fandom for trying to win a championship? I mean, come on. Who lives like that? That, I'm sorry, is looking to judge other people. That is aiming to judge other people's reaction, other people's lives. Now, I'm not going to do that. I think that's unfair. I think that's the way social media and modern American society works. We are waiting on social media to criticize other people. Waiting. Just waiting for something to happen. And last night it happened. And for an instant, 20,000 people that pumped their fist because Kevin Durant got injured looked to be callous. And so if you want to be mad at them, you can. But then if you wait 2 minutes to where they realize the significance of the injury, the Raptors players are telling them to calm down, and then they start chanting for KD as he hobbles off, we can't then applaud that? We can't say, okay, no, they got it right. They ultimately got it right? Like, that is just waiting to judge people. And, gosh, I hate to be the guy that points fingers, but if you're waiting to judge people, that says more about you than them. It's time now for Trash Tuesday.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Braz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
I'm actually gonna trash my favorite baseball team and greedy baseball teams in general for what happened last night. In New York, pouring rain all day, pouring rain at night. Yankees-Mets Subway Series scheduled. Everybody knew there was no window to get this game in. So what do the Yankees do? Gates will open at 5:30. We plan on starting the game. Come on in. $40 to park, have a beer, have a hot dog, wait around. 10 minutes before the game is scheduled to start, tarp still on the field. What do the Yankees do? Tonight's game has been postponed, rescheduled for later today, 1 p.m. Eastern, as part of a day-night doubleheader. Now, what's the problem here? You knew it was going to rain out. You knew this was going to be a disaster, and you knew you were going to have to play a doubleheader today, so you feared there'd be less fans in there today anyway. So why not make everybody come in and try to squeeze every little dollar out of the fans to buy concessions and trick them in making them hope, since they already have tickets, that there was going to be a game in. When MLB teams do this, it's a flat-out disgrace.
Trash them.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
You're absolutely right. The Yankees knew the game was not going to get played, and they opened up the gates for 45 minutes so that people got in there, paid what they could pay in terms of concessions, buy some jerseys, eat some food, drink a few beers, knowing that the game wouldn't be played. It was just like a 1 hour cash register. Let's just open up the cash register.
It's a joke. And they're not going to, and they don't own the parking lots, but they're not refunding anybody on their parking money. $40. Imagine coming back. That's $80 in 2 days to park for baseball. And you wonder why baseball has some problems, because of stuff like this.
It's a great call. Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
I'm trashing these stupid teams that decide, oh, hey, tanking is the answer. That's our way to solve our franchise woes. Look at the New York Knicks. They tanked to get the potential first pick in the draft. They're not the first pick in the draft. And look at Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant gets hurt. Their top apple of their eye, and now he's out. So the Knicks are still horrible, and teams like that are still horrible because they don't realize that tanking is not the answer.
You've been trashed.
You know, this is a bad day for the Knicks. You're absolutely right. It's a really bad day. They thought trading away Kristaps Porzingis opens up two max slots. They're going to tank, so they're going to get the number one pick. And then there is the Zion plus KD plus Kyrie potential. That was going to change the Knicks forever. They didn't get, they did not get Zion. Who knows what happens to KD now, but it's suddenly not so interesting to get KD and lock him in. And if it was just Kyrie Irving and Tobias Harris and J.R. Barrett or R.J. Barrett, now is that the trio? Is that the Holy Trinity? The three wise men that Knicks fans are waiting for? So it's true. You have all these beliefs that what could happen, what could happen, what could happen, instead of taking care of what you can control on a daily basis. And now the Knicks feel screwed again. Andrew Bogus, who are you trashing?
DA, my trash comes from something Sean brought up last week. And I guess it was, how do we get on Rollo McFlurries? I don't remember the exact genesis of that, but we were discussing McFlurries last week.
Yeah, I forget how we got on. Oh, the Cupcake Kid.
Right. And just the weekend before, I had another bad McFlurry experience. And this has happened at multiple McDonald's in multiple locations, so it's not just the one near my house, where they don't mix the topping all the way through the
thing. Bad job. That's a bad job.
I'm an Oreo McFlurry guy, and the first two or three, maybe four spoonfuls are full of Oreo. It's great. But then all of a sudden, I'm just eating a huge cup of vanilla ice cream. I need that mixed all the way to the bottom, so I'm getting Oreo to the very last spoon.
Yeah, yes. It's not a topping. The idea of a McFlurry is it throughout.
All
you're just,
the way in.
You're just lucky the ice cream machine wasn't broken.
This is also true.
You've got to mix everything 100% all the way through so that the mixture is 100% throughout.
To the bottom.
To the bottom.
You couldn't be easier either.
It's like mixing cement or something. You just mix the top of the cement. It's got to be all the way through. It's got to be a full-on
mixture.
It's
the point of that thick spoon they give you with the McFlurry, or otherwise just give me a cheap plastic one.
That's exactly right. Trash.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
That's a bad job, Araz, because that's also really disappointing. When you roll up with a full Oreo McFlurry, you're like, oh, this is going to be delicious. And then it's a total disappointment.
Yep. It's like getting there for a good starting pitcher and it's an opener game. You know, you just can't have it.
I'm trashing the loud coffer. I got a loud coffer. On my train into work, during the winter, I noticed a woman that sounded like she had a whooping cough. And she would not cough. Or she would cough. It was very throaty. And I'm like, whoa, you got something bad, ma'am. And she was on my train, and she would be on my train, and I would always know, because even if she wasn't in the same part of the car as me, I could hear the and I'm like, ma'am, this is definitely pneumonia, some type of flu. You know, this is very disturbing. So I'm moving out of that car, going to a different car, making sure I'm really far away. But I could hear it. And I would say 3 out of the 5 days a week, I was on the same car as loud cougher woman, the pneumonia. Well, I have noticed she's got that cough still. In fact, today on the train, I'm sitting there doing just minding my own business, reading through stories about last night's games on my phone, and I hear, hooah! Hooah! And everybody in the train turns, and I'm like, oh my God. She doesn't have pneumonia. She didn't have the flu. She didn't have the whooping cough. She's just a loud cougher. I know she can cough lower than that, and she refuses to. I think she likes the attention. And she's got a young son, sometimes two young sons, on that subway. Now I know this woman. And they always seem very meek and embarrassed because they know mom is a loud cougher. So she's not only ruining the car, she's ruining her kids. This loud cougher, you know what? You need to take a chill pill. You need to relax on the coughing. You need to be more understated. You don't have to cough that loud. You just want the attention. It's a loud cougher. Hooah! 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 It's like a loud sneezer. I know you can sneeze softer than that. I know. When we come back, one of my favorite sparring partners, Jared Greenberg from NBA TV.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.